Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. February 7, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn: transforming hatred into love. Love, hate, and everything in between. That is how our world is divided. When we hate or love, similar physiological processes take place in our body, changes in heart rate, blood pressure, muscle tension, acid and hormone secretion, and only a small point in the brain distinguishes whether what we feel is an attitude of hatred, or an attitude of love. What exactly needs to change within us, so that the world will be less terrible and more friendly and loving towards us? If I could penetrate into myself and change the innermost definitions within me so that my attitude toward everyone around me would become a loving attitude, then my entire worldview and experience of reality would change. The people, the world, and everything would seem to be a real paradise to me. Healing begins with a diagnosis. Our inner manager is a desire to receive pleasure and satisfaction, a desire to enjoy. When I look at someone with enjoyment, it is because I feel love toward that person, and I also rejoice in that person's joy. If I hate him or her, I feel upset. This is the truth, no matter how unpleasant it may sound, and whether or not we are conscious of our attitude. On the other hand, when I see a loved one suffering, I share that grief, while if I hate the one suffering, I'm happy and consider that suffering well deserved for that person. From this we can conclude that it is not the situation that takes place in front of us that determines whether we enjoy or suffer, but our attitude to those around us. If I could penetrate into myself and change the innermost definitions within me so that my attitude toward everyone around me would become a loving attitude, then my entire worldview and experience of reality would change. The people, the world, and everything would seem to be a real paradise to me. One judges others according to his own flaws, the sages say. What I see at any given moment in the world around me is a copy of my inner state, a projection just like in a 3D cinema of what is hidden within me. There is no such thing as a so-called objectively defined form of ourselves. The shape of the world is portrayed in front of me according to my inner structure, according to my desires, interests and intentions. Accordingly, if I could somehow correct the flaws within me, that is, my attitude towards everyone and everything around me, the world would also seem more corrected to me. There is a quality of bestowal and love in nature that fills everything, but we currently have absolutely no perception of it because we are opposite to it, as we exist in an egoistic state constantly pursuing self-benefit. As soon as we resemble nature by developing its attributes of care and reciprocity, we will begin to perceive its true form and reveal the goodness behind every aspect of life. Changing my experience of reality is not a matter of convincing myself on a psychological level, a sort of telling myself that there is nothing wrong with the world at all, but of changing the perspective from which my experience of reality is built. The essence of the correction entails an upgrade of that inner manager that activates me from birth called the desire to receive. The egoistic, natural desire to receive pleasure and enjoyment from the environment must be replaced with an altruistic, supernatural desire to positively influence everything around me. The wisdom of Kabbalah is the method that makes this essential transition possible through group study and practice. Gradually, step by step, with experimentation and control, this transformative correction of my attitude from hatred to love paints in my view a world without evil, a world full of loved ones. And when we realize that everything is in our hands, it turns out that it is an unnecessary shame to wait for others to change for the better. For the sake of illustration, when I have hatred towards someone, I have to tell myself that it's not the person in front of me that is the problem, but the supreme power of nature sending me an invitation to connect with it, and through that connection, to resemble its qualities by increasing love above all hatred. When I manage to work on myself and correct my attitude toward every picture of reality that is revealed, I will see that those bad characters who caused so much grief suddenly disappear, and only love and wholeness remain. My new article on LinkedIn, The Root of Israel, will give Israel no peace. Professor Ran Blitzer, head of Israel's experts cabinet appointed to fight COVID-19, has stated that the closure isn't working anymore. Vaccines are effective, he said, but we are still seeing high infection rates. Alongside the battle with the virus, Israel is grappled in yet another vitriolic general elections campaign, which makes many of the COVID-related decisions made by policymakers politically motivated, at the expense of the public's health. The overall sensation among many Israelis is that there is chaos and disorientation because of the political mayhem, where politicians are battling each other instead of the virus. The crises may seem unrelated, and each country is dealing with its problems on its own, but the truth is that everything is connected. Even worse, on a deeper level, everything is connected to Israel. And now that the American saga has calmed down a little, the world will turn its attention to Israel and the Jews, and not in order to compliment us on our achievement in vaccinating the Israeli population so quickly. But chaos isn't taking over only in Israel. Social, political, and medical crises are occurring the world over. The news may have focused more on the US since last summer due to the growing racial and political tensions that turned violent there, but Europe has been entangled with persistent violent political and COVID-related riots, as has Russia, Myanmar, with its military coup, and many other countries. Even weather seems to be relative calm, such as in China, it is only a facade. Everyone is suffering from the global economic slowdown, the repeated closures, and the unnerving sense that humanity has no leaders, that everyone is at a loss. The crises may seem unrelated, and each country is dealing with its problems on its own, but the truth is that everything is connected. Even worse, on a deeper level, everything is connected to Israel. And now that the American saga has calmed down a little, the world will turn its attention to Israel and the Jews, and not in order to compliment us on our achievement in vaccinating the Israeli population so quickly. We must understand once and for all why the world never stops blaming Israel for its woes, and why it feels that Israel owes it something. The root of the people of Israel is not in some remote tribe in ancient Mesopotamia. Israel coalesced into a nation after many people from many tribes and nations joined together under Abraham's leadership, since they believed in his tenet that mercy and love of others are the keys to happiness. Those people, who had nothing in common, developed a unique bond that was based on an ideology of unity above enmity rather than on familiar or tribal affinity. Because those strangers had to overcome profound initial distrust and hatred, the bond they forged had to be equally strong. As a result, the bond they formed was like no other, and it lifted Israel to heights that had never existed before. That bond, forged by transcending intense enmity, became a role model for the nations, a proof that we can bridge any rancor and resolve any conflict, if we only exalt unity high enough. But the connection between the people of Israel and the nations of the world has not been broken. It cannot be broken, since the nations of the world are our root, our origin. This is why humanity cannot stop taking interest in Israel or in Jews. Like it or not, they feel connected to the Jews, and like it or not, we are connected to them, to all the nations in the world. Today, when disarray and disunion plague every corner of the globe, the world will turn to Israel even more quickly than before. Israel, which once managed to unite sworn enemies under the idea that unity is the supreme value, is now failing the world. We have turned our most sacred values of mutual responsibility and love of others into mere lip service, election slogans that no one means and no one believes. Yet, these values are exactly what the world needs. We are the ones who once achieved it, and because the world feels connected to us, it demands this from us. It demands that we restore our unity and spread it, share the secret of uniting above hatred. In the meantime, we, who have abandoned our unity, have become the distrusting people we were before we came to Abraham and discovered the value of unity. We want to rejoin the nations of the world, But they will not let us. They will only accept one thing from us, that we become Israel once more. They don't need us to be like them, they need us to be Israel, people who rise above their hatred and unite, and thereby set an example that today is the only thing that can save the world from misery. The greatness of the Creator in the Ten. To reach connection with the Creator and feel His greatness is possible only within the connection of people with each other. However, we do not have a natural desire for such a close connection. It is not given from birth. We see that the more the world advances, the more hostile and alien it becomes, and everyone becomes more and more isolated and distant from others. How can such a development bring us closer to the Creator? It is as if the whole progress of humanity leads in the opposite direction from our purpose. When you start talking to people about connection, unity, and love, it rouses laughter. Even if they agree that it would make life better, it seems like an unrealistic, impossible goal. Therefore, we must work hard on the connection in the Ten, really battle both for the importance of the goal and for the tool to achieve it. After all, we do not feel value in either of them. How can it be that such an important goal and the means of achieving it, which would elevate us to the degree of eternity and perfection, are completely hidden from our feelings, understanding, and field of vision? Both the spiritual clay and the light are hidden. So, the Creator brings a person to the group, to the Ten, and says, "Choose this for yourself." There is no other choice but to choose it, because there is darkness all around, and only here do you find the end of the thread, which if you grasp, you can discover the meaning of life, its essence, the reason for existence. All our work is to appreciate the actions that the Creator performs with us, how He arranged the group for us, the means to reach Him. The method is given to us, from above through the Kabbalists, and we must follow it with faith above reason, that is, perform actions against our own desire and logic and draw closer to each other in order to reveal the force of connection between us. This force is hidden just like the point from which our universe once emerged. As a result of the Big Bang, this point began to expand and spread in all directions. We now, as if, want to hold on to this point of connection that once existed and come to an understanding of what is happening in this system. When we feel and understand where we are and understand the importance of the Kli and the light that fills it, the Creator, we will see an opposite world. This is not at all what we expected to see, but the opposite. Concealment within concealment. We can achieve this goal only if day after day we yearn for connection above reason and logic. The further we go, the more irrational it will seem. We will be revealing ever stronger division to a greater depth of the Kli, alienation and hatred. Every day we will have to start working on connection at a new level in a new higher quality. We must be aware of this. We have a great goal before us. To discover the source of creation from where the Big Bang occurred and the universe began to spread in all directions. When we reconnect all the parts of creation that have distanced from each other, gradually adding everything to one starting point, we reveal our source. The main thing for all of us is to connect together around the single goal, to reveal the Creator. For this, we need to feel His greatness. But no one can do it alone, because each is only one spark, a broken fragment. Therefore, we come together through strength and learn how to assemble the creation from opposite forces, above hatred, covering it with love. The Creator created one opposite the other. At any awakening, we must immediately grasp both forces, the left and the right, and create our goal between them, covering all crimes with love. If I do not value the Ten and the goal, then I reduce everything to the level of this world, to the bodily senses, that is, to the animate degree. The human degree begins when I hold both ends of the rope in front of me. The negative attitude toward the Creator, toward the greatness of bestowal, toward the friends, the lack of importance is the left line, which corresponds to my nature. However, I develop the right line against it in order to feel the greatness of the Creator and the friends. The greatness of the friends is a means to reveal the greatness of the Creator as a goal, and this is how I ascend from this world to the upper world. Otherwise, I will remain on the Anamot degree and finish my life in this way. Life is given to us as a special means to discover all the qualities of creation, its meaning, and its power. We do not want connection, but it is within it that the goal is revealed. We need to roll back the entire universe to the point from which it exploded and began to expand in all directions after the Big Bang. That is how we need to assemble ourselves first in tens all over the world. There will be no place on the map where we will not have friends who, due to the awakened desire in them, start to move toward connection. Gradually, all the tens will gather into one ten, and this will mean that we have come back to the point from which the Creator began the shattering. The Creator caused the shattering, executed it, and now reveals it to us. For the last thousands of years, the Creator has been revealing the shattering to special people, to Kabbalists. But today, the Creator wants to reveal this to everyone so that all the people will start moving toward the central point from which the shattering began. At that point, we will reveal the greatest deficiency, the greatest rejection, the force of the shattering, and the force of the greatest explosion. At the same time, we will put all our efforts so the Creator will help us build this vessel again and bring into it the whole of creation that resulted from the Big Bang, and assemble it into one vessel of ten Sephirot. By this action, we discover the greatness of the Creator in the original ten, to which we want to reach. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson February 3, 2021, The Greatness of the Creator in the Ten, Preparation for the Convention 2021. Artificial Respiration. The Creator expects us to unite each time more and more correctly over the increasing darkness that grows day by day. We are not afraid of this darkness, and we can already support each other, as it is said, they helped everyone his friend. Alone, without my friends, I could not ascend. Sometimes we come to class completely empty, without any glimmer in our hearts or in our heads. But when we engage with others, we receive an awakening from them. And this is correct. Do not be afraid or ashamed of it. This is what is called the center of creation, when I, empty, disillusioned and unable to do anything, receive strength from the connection with my friends and start to awaken as if by artificial respiration. We must feel more and more dependent on the ten that gives us life. Without the ten there is no life but only animal existence that is doomed to death. This time of life in the animal body is given in order for us to draw a pipeline from each of us to the center of his ten and between all the tens to their common center until everything is connected together with the generations of Kabbalists of the past. Gradually, we will all curl into a single point in the center of Adam HaRishon. It is as if we are rolling back the carpet that has been unfolded for us, and so we attain the greatness of the Creator. From this we can understand our dependence on each other, because our salvation is only in the ten. Everyone who falls out of connection is thrown into animalistic life and who knows if he has a chance to return. Therefore, it is necessary to strengthen the ties in the ten as much as possible. And let us fall every day into more and more egoism, but yesterday's connection will help us today. When I fall into a beastly state, I am left with a record, Reshimo, from yesterday's connection with my friends, which revives me and builds the foundation for a new spiritual state. Therefore, descents are no less important than ascents because the advantage of light is revealed from the darkness. The greater the darkness, the greater the light, and at the junction between the light and the darkness, the greatness and importance of the Creator is revealed to us, woven from both of them, like in, I am the Lord and there is no other. Who forms light and creates darkness. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson February 3, 2021, The Greatness of the Creator in the Ten, Preparation for the Convention 2021. My new article on LinkedIn, the one clear takeaway from President Biden's first foreign policy speech. Thus, President Joe Biden's first foreign policy speech had a clear message for Israel. It wasn't in what he said, but in what he didn't say. He didn't mention Israel. Even more interesting, in naming America's closest friends, and Biden's aim for reforming the habits of cooperation and rebuilding the muscle of democratic alliances, Israel was nowhere to be found. According to Biden, America's alliances are our greatest asset, and leading with diplomacy means standing shoulder to shoulder with our allies and key partners once again. But if Israel is not mentioned among America's allies, it means we are not a great asset to America, in the eyes of this administration, and it will not stand shoulder to shoulder with us. This should come as no surprise to us. I warned that Biden would reverse Trump's policy, and he went straight to work as soon as he took office. But is this bad for Israel? It is certainly unpleasant, but with all due respect, whether it is bad for Israel or not depends on our actions, not on Biden's will. As I explained in countless essays and several books, Israel depends on itself because Israel depends on its internal unity. When we are united, we dissolve the enmity of the world toward us. It is not that we are stronger in the military sense because we are united, it is that achieving unity is itself the purpose of our being a sovereign state. The world feels connected to Israel because our forefathers came from the nations of the world. At that time of the formation of our people, civilization was largely concentrated around the Fertile Crescent. Our forefathers, who came from many tribes and peoples along that area, were initially distrustful and hateful toward each other, much as we are now. Despite their suspicions, they developed such regard for unity that they managed to overcome their enmity and formed a nation. In doing so, Israel, which contained specimens of all the nations of the world, became a minuscule example of world peace. Being a light unto nations means being that example. When we unite, we set the example that the world needs, and this dissolves its enmity toward us, and turns it into favor. When we decline into the current state of inner conflicts and enmity, we violate the purpose of our nationhood, and the world sees no benefit in our existence. For the past 2 millennia, we have been in a state of hatred that we haven't managed to overcome. By doing so, we broke that sample of world peace and the world lost its only proof that peace is truly possible. This is the root of its contempt and hostility toward Jews. Yet, this also means that if we want to reverse the nation's feelings toward us, we needn't focus on pleasing them but on restoring our internal unity. This is what will truly please them, as it will enable them to forge peace among themselves, as well. For this reason, I think that the cold shoulder that the Biden administration is giving us, is a golden opportunity for the people of Israel to unite, and truly be what we can and must be, a role model of unity against all odds and above all contradictions. If we rise to the challenge, we will not need to worry about who is occupying the White House. Michael Lehtman, on Quora: how will the world change after the COVID-19 pandemic? We are in the midst of a major transitional era where we are starting to understand the tremendous extent of our interconnectedness and interdependence. Likewise, we also find ourselves destroying our world. This is because a key aspect of interconnected and interdependent systems is that if all of their parts act for the system's benefit, then the system functions harmoniously and its parts experience the health and vitality of the entire system. On the contrary, if its parts prioritize self-benefit over benefiting the whole, then they bring about the system's demise. Since the latter egoistic tendency defines the general attitude and behavior of human society in 2021, then we can expect the world as we know it to crumble. On one hand, we will see the increasing frailty of our financial and industrial mechanisms, and on the other hand, we can expect natural disasters to shake us, more and more, because nature principally reacts to us, according to how we relate to each other. We will continue heading down a negative spiral until we will wake up to our helplessness to live positive, healthy and balanced lives. At that point, we will develop a major need to revise the way we live. We will then feel an increasing need for updated explanations about how the interconnected and interdependent system we are all parts of functions, what its purpose is, what our role is within the system, what is the system's nature and what is human nature, how we can balance between them, why and how we are dispersed in this system, and what we can do in order to become closer in our attitudes to each other. In other words, we will need to undergo an upgrade in our connections to each other, and that upgrade will not be able to happen on its own. It will require a new method capable of guiding us to positive connection, harmony and happiness in an interconnected and interdependent reality. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. My new article on LinkedIn: many riots, one culprit. Us, President Joe Biden said during the election campaign that when it comes to the coronavirus, an infection anywhere is an infection everywhere. This is true not only of the coronavirus. Look at the riots that took place in America until recently, they seem to have migrated to Russia. Other riots, which began in France, have drifted to the Netherlands. In Myanmar there was a coup, governments in other countries in Europe and elsewhere are teetering, and it seems as though global instability has captured the world. The pace of changes will only grow, and it demands that we adapt to it. If we don't change our attitude toward society and embrace the closeness and mutuality that is emerging the world over, we will feel that we are swimming upstream in a river that is turning into a rapid. We have a choice: to swim downstream and enjoy the ride, or swim upstream, exhaust ourselves, be carried away by the river and eventually drown. This is no coincidence. We thought that globalization means primarily economic and financial ties among countries, but we were wrong. The whole world is influenced by the same thoughts, the same trends, and the same mindsets. When there is trouble anywhere, there is trouble everywhere. This is the new normal. We still think of ourselves as separate individuals, separate societies, and separate countries, but we are none of the above. We are all tied up. What one person thinks in Australia influences all other people in the world, even if they live in Alaska. We think that the internet is the means to spread ideas and incite people to riot, but it's much deeper than that. Our most basic desires emerge from a common source, our ego, and now these desires are beginning to display their interconnections. From here on, there will be no isolated troubles, no isolated triumphs. Everything will be shared by all of humanity, whether we like it or not. In the coming months and years, it will become increasingly clear that we will literally all rise together or we will all fall together. All the riots and all the troubles have one culprit: our ego. That connected, common root has been exposed, and we will not be able to hide it or ignore it any longer. Therefore, today, thinking of one's own interest is not only a luxury we can't afford, it is disconnection from reality and outright folly. This coalescing of desires is happening for a very serious and profound reason. Having the same desire means having the same thoughts, as we see according to people's behavior and expressions the world over. In other words, it brings people together. If they embrace that closeness, they will be happy and society will prosper. If they reject it, they will suffer, because this connection will happen anyhow and will place us in an undesirable reality. The world provides us with much more than we need. If we think of ourselves as a single, global family, we will be able to see that there is no shortage of anything, not just on the level of staples, but in every aspect of our lives, from housing to healthcare to education, and even to entertainment and leisure. The pace of changes will only grow, and it demands that we adapt to it. If we don't change our attitude toward society and embrace the closeness and mutuality that is emerging the world over, we will feel that we are swimming upstream in a river that is turning into a rapid. We have a choice: to swim downstream and enjoy the ride, or swim upstream, exhaust ourselves, be carried away by the river and eventually drown. Michael Lehtman, on Quora, what should I live for? What is the meaning of life? It is to rise to a level where we become as one with our life's source, while we are alive. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, that source has various names including the Creator, Nature, Upper Light, Upper Force, and others. It is essentially a force of love and bestowal that emanated everything, and in Kabbalah, we study how it created everything through a process called the four phases of direct light, a series of causes and effects until our creation and development here in our world. While we are in the reality we know as our world, that is, a perception and sensation of reality through senses of sight, hearing, smell, touch and taste, our purpose is to return to where we came from, until we reach adhesion with our life's source. Kabbalah calls the process of rising back to where we came from climbing the ladder from below upward. When we reach our life's final destination, adhesion with our life's source, the Creator, we will experience newfound eternal harmony and perfection. Moreover, everything we currently experience, increasing amounts of problems, crises, suffering and lacks of fulfillment, are all necessary elements of a maturation process that is gradually preparing us to become willing and ready to climb the ladder back to our source. Based on the lesson Fundamentals of Kabbalah with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lehtman on December 16, 2018. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lehtman. Michael Lehtman, on Quora, how has pandemic affected the education system? The pandemic has shown the ugly face of our education systems. These systems should have educated our children to become independent and responsible in their learning and knowing of how to positively connect among themselves and with their teachers, as well as willful and responsible participation in their studies through various media. Unfortunately, we instead see quite the contrary, that these systems fail to prepare children to be independent and responsible. That is why, over the course of the pandemic, we have seen multitudes of children disregard the connection among each other and with their teachers, and many relate to what they study as meaningless and useless. Such an approach has contributed to a general crumbling of the systems. We should treat this educational crisis that the pandemic revealed in order to revise our education systems. Today, we do not need to raise children to simply fill job positions, several of which we will no longer need. Instead, our education systems should adjust their aims to raise children into happy, successful and confident human beings, in the fullest sense of those terms. To become truly happy, successful and confident, we need to live in a society where we actively participate in constructing positive connections among each other, above our myriad divisive drives. Accordingly, we should encourage children to participate more and more in society, since social participation and contribution are quickly becoming the most important components in building a society of happy, successful and confident individuals. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lehtman. The Light of Kabbalistic Books. Comment. Very often I take a Kabbalistic book, open it at random, and read the page that I opened. My response, this is very good because it does not matter what you read. All Kabbalistic books carry light that changes you. Therefore, it does not matter what you read. The main thing is the intention. You want to change, you want to rise, you want to induce the influence of the upper light, which exists everywhere, on yourself. The fact that you, as it were, accidentally open the book, you thus give the choice to the Creator. The lot will be cast by him, not by you. This is how Rabash taught me. I want to read something, see something, get some answer to my state, so I open the book at random. This is not fortune telling. It is just a feeling that I am walking with the Creator and not with some dark forces or launching terrible, unknown mechanisms. No. I call upon myself the upper light in union with the Creator and give him the opportunity to guide my actions. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar number 4. Jailing criminals is pointless. From a viewer, Leitman says that we don't need to destroy evil, but what then? Let the Hitlers and their like flourish. Today, there is so much evil around, all ideals are destroyed, the world is ruled by criminals, only evil is around. How should we deal with it? Let him answer. My response, we must correct it, not fight it. Question, is it not a fight to correct evil? Answer, no, it's not a fight. To correct doesn't mean to destroy it. Comment, you said that evil remains. It must remain and not be destroyed while good is built next to it. My response, above it. Question, this is not clear to a person. How so? When there are so many murderers and all sorts of Hitlers, as he says. Answer, redo everything. Nothing in the world can be destroyed, neither good nor bad. We just have to rebuild everything. Question, this is not clear to people. Let's say I see evil. What are my actions? I see evil, obvious, the worst possible thing. You say, don't destroy it. What should I do? How should I handle it? Answer, it comes from the Creator. There is none else besides Him. He is the only source of all that is happening. How can I imagine that evil turns to good? This is a problem. But this needs to be explained. Why is there more and more evil in the world? Because we don't correct it. We are trying to destroy it by putting people in prison and killing them to eradicate evil. We should do nothing of the sort. In no way can this be done. Only turn it to good. Question, but criminals are put in prison, right? Answer, jailing is also wrong. Isolate them, but don't put them there to stay. As it says in the Torah, you have to create for them such cities where they would live normally and provide for themselves. Question, please tell me, what does their correction mean? Answer, they should receive such a dose of education that they would eat themselves up for what they have done, realize who they are, what, why, and turn into the best correctors and educators. Imagine, having this practical skill and this past under your belt. After going through everything correctly and absorbing the right education, how much good they could do. From Cab TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, November 30, 2020. Conscious growth. Question. At the beginning of creation, we were in an intrauterine state in which we were completely wrapped in love, but we were not aware of it. Then we found ourselves in an opposite situation where we feel only ourselves and no external force that fills us, with love. Do we develop between these two opposite states and as a result receive the revelation of the Creator in our feelings? Answer, yes. From these two opposite points we begin to understand what bestowal and reception mean and compare them with each other. In the analysis and synthesis between them, we feel that we simultaneously consist of both these qualities. A person is neither the receiving part that the Creator created nor the bestowing part that is a quality of the Creator himself. However, when he begins, like a constructor, to assemble himself from these two qualities, then he grows himself by himself, just like an embryo begins to develop in the mother's womb from a drop of semen, except for us. This growth should be conscious. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar number 4. Why are we far from perfect? Question. The Creator, being omnipotent, undoubtedly could create a person, as well as the whole world, as perfect. However, he clearly did not. In other words, we see that the creation does not correspond to the Creator at all. How is this possible? Answer, therefore, it is also a creation, since it is opposite to the Creator. It is thanks to this oppositeness that it can begin to feel and appreciate the Creator. Like the contrast between black and white, if there were no black, then white would not be felt either. Therefore, on the one hand, the Creator originally created the creation opposite to himself, so that, on the other hand, we could perceive and create his property in ourselves. And then, possessing these two properties, we can literally feel the entire creation, the entire universe, all the worlds. From Cab TV's Ask a Cabalist, March 20th, 2019. Pride without reason. Question: what pride is considered to be negative? Answer: when I am proud without any reason. I do not bring others to the goal, I do not bring them closer to it. And what am I proud of about them? The fact that I am who I am? But it does not depend on me. That is why pride is not personal. Comment: let's say I am proud that the Creator created me this way. My response: and why did he create you? What are you doing with it? Comment: but I also somehow made an effort. My response: this is another matter. You made an effort to be a special person. Now the question is, what makes you special? By the way you behave toward other people and toward the Creator, you can evaluate yourself. Man himself has nothing to be proud of. In the process of studying Kabbalah, he understands that all his negative and positive properties are given to him from above, and from above we are given an analysis of how to use them correctly. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, April 22, 2019. Am I beneficial for the group? Question: how do I know whether I am beneficial for the group? Answer: only when you detach yourself from your ego and lower yourself before the group will you be able to receive a real positive answer that you are beneficial for it. This means that you need to be able to totally dissolve in the group. This happens after a great deal of scrutiny, for and against, agreeing and disagreeing, and so on. When you are aware of it, you annul yourself. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 9, 2018. My thoughts on Twitter, February 6, 2021. The spheres pressuring Israel are closing in. However, knowing that otherwise this nation will not aim for the upper goal, to be an example of unity, one recognizes the upper plan in what is happening. This is from above. And from below, influence on the masses should come from us, by revealing to everyone the meaning of what is happening in the world, unity.